Amen. Brandy told me this morning, she put a crock pot on at the house, Brother J.D., and mixed some stuff in it. And she said, I got it set for 1:30. You think we'll be home by 1:30? I said, baby, we'll be out way before 1:30. And she gave me that look like, yeah, I know. If it goes past 1:30, we'll eat somewhere else. But I want to eat here before I ever go home. I got meat that they know not about. How, the title of the sermon this morning, turn this around, but the title that God laid on my heart is, how can this be? How can it be turned around unless God does it? How can it be unless God steps in? How can it be fixed unless God moves? How can you be forgiven unless God forgives? How can you be healed unless God heals? How can you be redeemed unless God redeems? How can you be fixed unless God fixes? If you have a copy of God's Word, I ask you to turn with me to Acts chapter number 3 and verse number 9 this morning. We're going to be talking about the lame man. You know, in Acts 3, we're going through the book of Acts. And when we get here in Acts chapter number 3, we're to the point where it's no longer about the lame man, but the people can't understand what has took place in the life of this man. And Peter tells them, they're asking, how can this be? And Peter gives them an answer. And this morning, I want to give you an answer. Maybe you don't see how it can turn around. Maybe you don't see how it can be fixed. Maybe you don't see how your life can be restored and be made new and all things come to pass. Maybe you can't see how over 15 to 18 people would go to Tyler, Alabama and help build on a church. Maybe you can't see how the women are going to go and hand out turkeys. Maybe you can't see how these kids could come to the altar, over 30-something little babies. Can I get an amen? How can this be? And it can only be because of Jesus Christ. Amen. If we tried to get together and keep unity, it would never work. But because of God, it works. How can this be? Acts chapter number 3 and verse number 9. I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word this morning. Acts 3 and verse number 9, the Bible says, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. Talking about the lame man. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement in that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's Great Wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered and said unto them, ye men of Israel, why marvel you at this? Or why look you so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness, we had made this man to walk? Peter said, listen, if you think it's by our power or our holiness, you got it wrong. If you think this church is growing and this church is doing it because of us, you're wrong. Can I get an amen? It's not by our power. We have no power. The power we have comes from heaven. If you think we're holy, you're wrong. Our holiness is not of us, but it is of God. Amen? Woo, Brother J.P., then the God of Abraham in verse number 13 and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, had glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, and when he was determined to let him go, but ye denied the Holy One, the just, and desired a murder to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God had raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name through faith in his name hath made this man strong, whom you see and know, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Father, I do love you and I do thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you this morning. How can this be? I can't explain it, but I just believe it. Father, this morning, whoever walked in and they say, how can this be that I've got a doctor's report and I need to be healed? How can this be? Father, this morning I pray I give them nothing but Jesus this morning. How can this be? Only through Jesus. Lord, the marriage that may be on the brinks of separation, how can this be? Only by the blood of Jesus that it'd be put back together. The lost one that walked in and said, how can I get out of this turmoil? The one that wants to commit suicide this morning, how can I get out of this? Oh, how can this be? Only by the blood of Jesus. Lord, the one that walked in this morning and forgot what they was delivered from, how can this be? Only by the blood of Jesus. Lord, this morning I pray that you give me liberty to preach, thus saith the Word of God. And when the time comes for invitation and they want to know, how can this be? Oh, it'll only be by the blood of Jesus. Father, I thank you for Calvary. I thank you that it was bloody. I thank you that Jesus shed his blood on the cross of Calvary that I may have life and that I may have it more abundantly. Lord, I pray you guard this service and camp angels around us. Allow the Holy Ghost to meet with us. And you be glorified in everything we say and do. It's in Jesus' holy, precious name. All of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated this morning. As we come here in the text, how can this be? All the people seen here, if you look in verse 9 through that, all the people seen the lame man up and walking. This was a man for over 40 years had laid here at this spot, and he had laid there and he needed help and he needed peace and he needed rest. And I can almost hear that lame man say, how can this be? I keep laying here and nothing happens. I keep staying here and nothing happens. I keep going to church and nothing happens. I keep reading my Bible and nothing happens. I keep praying and nothing happens. I keep giving and nothing happens. I keep fasting and nothing happens. How can this be that something will happen? I say to you this morning, it won't be by the stained glass windows that something happens in this place. It won't be by the padded pews that things happen in this place. It won't be by this preacher that things happen in this place. It'll only be by the power of God. Hey, when He sits down amongst His people, that things happen when God steps in our situations. But how can this be? And old Peter, when they said that, he said, I'll tell you how this can be. I'll tell you how a man that was lame that can be up walking now and skipping and doing jump rope and going to church and loving Jesus. I can tell you how the alcoholic no longer is in the tavern, but he is at home. I can tell you now how the drug addict is no longer looking for the next fix, but he's standing behind the sacred desk preaching the word of God. I tell you how it can be. Glory to God. That a man of God can stand for the word of God. It's by the power of God that that man or that woman can do that this morning. And Peter said, I'll tell you how it can be. I'll tell you how it can be. Let me show you number one this morning in verse number 13 and number 14. It can be because Jesus is the Holy One. Jesus Christ is the Holy One. Look what the Bible says in verse number 14, talking about the Holy One. The Bible says, but ye denied the Holy One. Peter told them there, told them Jews, he said, you denied the Holy One. This morning, if you see it happening to everybody else, and you say, I don't think it can happen to me, you're denying the power of God that He's wanting to put on your life. He said, how can this be? It's because Jesus is the Holy One. He is the Holy One. He is the only one to raise somebody from the dead. He is the only one to walk on water. He is the only one to make the lame walk. And He is the only one this morning that can save your soul from a devil's hell. Can I get an amen? And you say, preacher, what must I do to get out of the shape that I'm in? What must I do to get delivered from things in my life? It's going to take the Holy One to come upon you. It's going to take the Holy One to move in your life. It's going to take the Holy One. And when He comes, you must not deny Him, but you must rely on Him this morning. Turn with me if you will. And as they get here, I want you to know they denied Him. Even when Pilate was determined, look what the Bible says in verse number 13. And in the presence of Pilate, he was determined to let Him go. He said, oh, Pilate was going to let Jesus go. Hey, but you know what? They didn't want to let Him go. They didn't want to let the Son of God go. They wanted a murderer instead of somebody that would save them. This world that we live in, they don't want Jesus. They want their own way. But you know what the anthem in hell is? I did it my way. Friends, this morning we must not reject Him, but we must receive Him this morning. Turn with me, if you will, to Luke chapter number 4 and verse number 34. I love this morning, Luke 4 and 34. You say He is the Holy One this morning. Who all knows that Jesus is the Holy One this morning? Who all knows that Jesus is the Holy One this morning? Not by my righteousness. Isaiah said, I'm as filthy rags my righteousness is. But I want you to know this morning, it's by the Holy One we stand and proclaim Jesus. He said, I want you to know this. You and I know that He is the Holy One, but the demons in hell know that He's the Holy One. Listen to this morning. Even the demons in hell. You say, well, He only has authority. He has authority everywhere. He has authority over everything. He has authority over everything in your life. No matter what, glory, no matter what goes on, He has authority. You've got power this morning in the name of Jesus. There is no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved than the name of Jesus. Can I get an amen? Oh, He says this morning, if you will look with me in Luke chapter number 4 and verse number 34, He said, this is it. He says, saying, let us alone. And there's people this day when the Spirit comes on them, they say, leave me alone. I love the way I'm living. I love love what I'm doing. Don't wreck my party. Don't disturb me. Let me go to church on Sunday and leave the same way I come in. Friends, I want you to know, when you get under the power of God and you get in the presence of God, I want you to know He will not leave you alone. Amen. Oh, He won't leave you alone. He won't leave you alone. Look what they said. Luke 4:34 saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth?" He said, "Let us alone." How can this be? Because He has all the power. "Let us alone, thou Jesus of Nazareth. Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art. You are the Holy One of God." Even the demons in hell know He's the Holy One of God. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew 27 and verse number 54. Not only did the demons in hell, not only did Peter and John, not only do we know who the Holy One is, but I want you to know that day that He was He hung on that old rugged cross. He had done come to that place and they had done crucified Him on that cross. Friends, I want you to know, don't you ever get over the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Don't you ever get over Calvary. Don't you ever lose having compassion for the cross of Calvary. I want you to know this morning, it's by the blood of Jesus that saved my soul. How can this be? Because He is the Holy One this morning. He is the one this morning, Brother Jay, that saves our soul and sets us free. He is the one this morning. Look what He said in Matthew chapter number 27 in verse number 54. He is the Holy One. The demons in hell know He's the Holy One. We here today know He's the Holy One. But that centurion, that day he was crucified on Calvary, he knew that he was the Holy One of God. Look what he says. And now with the centurion, "Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, 'Truly this was the Son of God.'" I want you to know that centurion said, "Truly this was the Son of God." Friends, I want you to know, he got it wrong though. When Jesus died on Calvary, he was still the Son of God. It ain't that he was the Son of God. He is the Son of God. He always has been and he always will be. You say, "I don't know about that, preacher." I want you to know, he's the one that rules, he's the one that reigns, and he sits at the right hand of the Father, always making intercession. Amen. Man, I want you to know this morning, Jesus is the Holy One this morning. Is he the Holy One of your life this morning? We was at Broken Life there Thursday night talking about the Holy One. And we done got there, and man, I'm telling you what, the Spirit was just wonderful. It was doing its job. It was doing its work. It was doing its call, and it was moving on people. And at the end of that service, they asked, "Anybody in here lost that need to be saved, or anybody that's lost knowing that they're going to hell?" And there were seven people that raised their hands, said if they died, they knew that they'd spend eternity in the lake of fire. Friends, I want you to know that's a dangerous place for a man to be, to know that if he died and rejected the Holy One, and he rejected him, and denied him, that's a dangerous place for a man or a woman to get. And as they got to that place, I want you to know, and it was time for invitation, out of them seven, there was two that came forth and gave their life to Jesus and asked Jesus to come into their life. You said, "Preacher, why didn't all seven come?" All I know is that ain't none of my business. Can I get an amen? Hey, I'm not the one to manufacture it. All I am is the one to proclaim that Jesus saved. He'll take you from the guttermost and he'll take you to the uttermost. Amen. He'll turn the test in your life into a testimony. He'll take your mess and turn it into a message. And I want you to know this morning, how can that be? Only by the Holy One this morning. If you're in a mess this morning, you're at the right place. The Holy One of heaven, He can reach down. He will reach down when you need Him in your life. I don't know where them other five men is this morning, but I do know this, them two that got saved, we stood them before the congregation and I asked them, I said, "Did you give your life to Jesus?" And they said, "Yes, we did." And you said, "Preacher, why did you do that?" He said, "If you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father which is in heaven. Hey, but if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father which is in heaven." This morning, I don't want to reject Him. I want to receive Him this morning. Amen. Oh, he said, because He's the Holy One this morning. He is the Holy One, the righteous one this morning. Peter said, "You want to know why that lame's walking? It ain't because of us." Can I get a witness? Maybe you're in here this morning, you know what I'm talking about. You've been in a battle all your life and you say, "Man, I tell you what, the only reason I am where I am today is not because of me. It's because of the blood of Jesus Christ." Right. Folks, you listen to me. Don't you ever get to the place where you forget about the blood and you think you're self-righteous and you think you're doing good and you got it your way. You listen to me. It ain't never been about that way. It's all about the cross, all about the blood of Jesus. Well, Peter told him, he said, I want to get you straight on this. He said, how can this be, number one? Because he's the Holy One. He's the Holy One. Boy, don't you remember when he come down on you? Boy, he's on me this morning. Whoa, glory. Thank you, Jesus. What crock pot's going to be good, ain't it? Not like serving God, you hear me? Not like serving God. He's a crock pot God. You want it now, and it might be 1:30 before you get a hold of it. But he sure is good. I can eat on them two salvations for a long time the other night. I'll show you who else he is this morning. Not only is he the Holy One. Folks, I'm talking about holy. I'm talking about holy. I'm talking about holy. I'm talking about Wednesday night service holy. I'm talking about when you walk in. I'm not talking about hollering and shouting and screaming and getting in praise and worship and getting all worked up and all good, goody feeling. I'm talking about when the presence of God sits down on a service and everybody's quiet and it's just as quiet as a pin. You could drop a pin and everybody hear it all over the building. That's when you're in the presence of Almighty God. When this lame man, Peter and John, had come to him, you know what? He said, silver and gold have I none, but have I, what I have I give thee in the name of Jesus Christ. And that's up and walk. Number one, because he's the Holy One. But number two, look with me if you will, in verse number 15. Jesus is the Prince of Life. He said, not only is he holy, but J.D., he's the Prince. Look what he says here. And he told him, he said, you killed the Prince of Life. You killed him. Whom God had raised from the dead, wherefore we are witnesses. As would you read that Jesus is the Holy One, he told him there in verse 14. But when you come to verse 15, and he says, Jesus is the Prince of Life. Let me give you this. The Prince of Life, here's what it means. It means that that prince, it can be translated, he is your captain or he is your author. He said the captain that you needed for your ship, you killed. The one that's trying to instruct you to go right, you're rejecting him. The author, the one that's wanting to write your book. The one that's wanting to take the pen from your hand. You know what old Job said? Job said, oh my goodness, what am I going through? And his wife, you know what his wife said? Why don't you just curse God and die? Oh, Job said, oh, no, he's a lot bigger than I am. I may be going through something right now, but I'm not going to curse him. I'm not going to turn my back on him. I'm not going to let him down. I may be going through a lot, but I'm not going to let him. How can this be? How can a man of God have that kind of attitude? Because he's not serving himself. He's serving the Holy One, and he's serving the Prince of Life. What he says here in Hebrews chapter number 2 and verse number 10, said, and killed the Prince of Life. Let me show you this in Hebrews chapter number 2 and verse number 10, if you will. Hebrews chapter number 2 and verse number 10. I love what the Bible says here when Paul comes here and he's talking this in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews, we're talking about being a prince of life. That prince can be translated a captain or an author. Hebrews chapter number 2 and verse number 10, the Bible says. I love this morning. Boy, I tell you what, church is about obsolete on bringing Bibles to church. You hear them pages? That's amazing, ain't it? That screen will cripple you. I don't know. I don't know why I said that, but I just anyway. All I know is when I hold that Bible, I'm holding Jesus. I got my Bible on my phone. Where am I going with this, Bridget? I don't know. I got my Bible on my phone, but my phone may go dead, huh? Got my Bible on my phone. My wife put the app on there, but my phone might go dead. It might go blackout. May not be able to pay the bill on it. Can I tell you, this here ain't never blacked out. I'm talking to somebody. Oh, God, glory to God. I walk with my phone. They don't know who I am. I could be talking or texting, reading my Bible, and they don't know. But you listen to me, Sister Brittany. When I walk in with that right there, they know what's going on. They know what time it is. Amen. They know what time it is. They know what's going on. They know I got a hold of the Holy One. They know that I'm talking about the Prince of Life. Look what he says here in Hebrews chapter number 2 and verse number 10. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things. It bringeth many sons unto glory to make the captain of their salvation. If you say this morning that Jesus Christ is your co-captain, you need to move over and let him be your captain this morning. The Bible doesn't say that he was your co-captain. He didn't say that he was your co-pilot. He said that he is the captain of the ship. Amen? Oh, glory. Man, I'm telling y'all. To make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Turn with me, if you will, to Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse number 2. Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse number 2 said he was the captain of the salvation. captain of the salvation. But he said he was the author. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author. Peter said, listen, boys, I know y'all see this lame man. I know y'all going to put me in jail and you ready to stone me. I look around this room this morning, some of you may think you're crazy and you've lost your mind. But you listen to me this morning. I know who my captain is and I know who my author is. I know what I've come from. I'm not who I used to be. And it ain't by my righteousness, it's because I got a relationship with the Holy One. And he's my captain and he's my author. He said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. That Prince of Life that you see there in verse number 15, number one, he's the captain of our salvation. Number two, he's the author of our faith. Isaiah 9:6, Isaiah said he is the Prince of Peace. This morning, how can this be that you have a peace that passes all understanding? If you don't know the Prince of Peace, you have no peace. The world calls for peace. People call for peace. Back when I was in the 90s, and they do this, peace. They want to retreat, peace. That will not send peace. Let me just tell you what will send peace like a river in your soul. Is when you say, how can this be? Only by the Holy One. Only by the Prince of Life. Peter says here in verse number 14, wherefore we are witnesses. Folks, this morning, how can this be? The only way the world is going to know the Holy One and the Prince of Life if we be the witness that He's called us to be. You say, what kind of witness is that, preacher? Peter said that we're witnesses of Jesus Christ and His resurrection. He says that I'm a faithful witness. I'm faithful in telling you what He's done in my life. He said, not only am I faithful, but I'm fruitful. I'm not going to stop telling what Jesus has done. How can this be? He says, not only am I faithful and I'm fruitful, but forever I will be a witness of Jesus Christ. But I'm going to show you the last thing. He said, if you want to know how this old boy's healed, you're in here this morning, you say, man, I got family member. They need this and they need something in their life. I don't know what they need. How can't they need Jesus? They need Jesus. Preacher, what do you need? I need Jesus every day of my life. Just Jesus. And here's what old Peter said. He said, you know that Holy One that you crucified? You know that Prince of Life that you murdered? He's the one that can help you and he still can. But you got to quit denying him and you got to rely on him. Folks, this morning, I don't know why the Mother 5 didn't walk the aisle Thursday at Broken Life. So I don't have a clue why they didn't. I told them, I said, you done admitted you're lost when you raised your hand. This morning, if I went around the room, and I'm not going to do it. But if I went around this room this morning and I said, hey, man, your life's in turmoil and you need help, don't raise your hand, please don't. But if I did do that, I would be pretty sure that somebody out of this crowd would raise their hand and say, my life's in turmoil. Man, I got to have help. But instead of coming to the one that can do something about it, we deny him and try to do it on our own. We try to do it our own way and we try to do it in our own power, our own strength, and our own name. But old Peter said here in verse number 16, he said, not only is he holy, not only is he the prince, but he said, he is the name that's above every name. I don't have a religion. I have a relationship. That's why Jesus means so much to me. It's not a religion. A lot of churches you walk into, they have religion. You get off course a little bit. You go a little long. You do a little this. You do a little that. You'll get in a religious class with them in a hurry. We don't do it this way. I don't have a religion. I have a relationship. I'm not saved on a prayer that I prayed. I'm saved on a person that I put my faith in, named Jesus Christ. Prayer is what led me to Him. But you listen to me this morning. I'm saved on the blood of Jesus Christ. How can this be? How can this be? Because He's holy. How can this be? Because He is the Prince of my life. And he is the name that's above every name. This morning, I want to show you that name very briefly, very quickly. And I want to ask you a question this morning. Why keep being in the shape that you're in when all you have to do is call on the name of Jesus? Just call on the name of Jesus. Sister Laurel, she ain't here today, I don't think. But she's talking about little Willow. There's at Dollar General. She ran over her foot and started bleeding. And she didn't realize it was bleeding that bad. And little Willow said, "Mama, just do Jesus on three over your foot. It'll be." And we laugh about that. And that's funny. You know, it is. I mean, I get tickled about it. How old is Willow, Miss Donna? Ooh, four. Four. Somebody's taught her, though, at the name of Jesus. Just at the name of Jesus will heal stuff. At the name of Jesus will help. But at the name of Jesus, it'll humble you like you've never seen. Let me show you this in the text, and we're going to go on. It said, not only is he the Holy One, not only is he the Prince of Life, but Jesus is the name that's above every name. Turn with me, if you will, to Philippians chapter number 2, and I want to show you this name. Philippians chapter number 2 this morning. Philippians chapter number 2 and verse number 10. In our text, while you're flipping there, he said, in his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong. That was in verse 16. And then in Philippians chapter number 2 and verse number 9, the Bible says, Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I see as an exalted name. I see in Acts chapter number 4 and verse number 12 that it's a given name. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. But I also understand in the book of Acts is a saving name. It'll save you from whatever you got going on in your life. So, preacher, how can that be? How can this be? How can this be? I told them the other night when we left Broken Lives, and I'll share this with you, that I know what it is to be where them men are at. I know what it is to be there. And I know what it is for a preacher to tell me you can be delivered, you can be set free if you'll just call on the name of Jesus. There's people in here right now, you're under bondage. You're under bondage, and you say, man, I got to get out of this. I know I don't need to keep doing this. How can it? It's only at the name of Jesus. You can't quit if you wanted to. If you would, you done quit. I know what that's like to be there. And no, if I just quit, but you can't quit, because if you quit, you quit. And if you do quit, you ain't going to stay quit long enough for it to do any good. But at the name of Jesus, you don't quit it. He takes it. He takes it. And I told this story, and I want to tell it this morning. I was listening, and Brother Brent's going to know this by being in Iraq. The other day, we was going over the hills, and man, I've been thinking about this, and I hollered this word out, spider hole. Kaylee said, what are you talking about? I just kept hollering, because I'd been in a spider hole. They said in Iraq, Saddam Hussein was just over there in Iraq and Kuwait, and place said he was awful. Said he would kill you, he would destroy you. But if he wanted something out of you, and he wanted to manipulate you and destroy you and isolate you and get you in a place where you couldn't get no peace, no rest, no comfort, no nothing in your life, and it was turmoil 24/7, he'd come up with something called a spider hole. How can this be that a man would have enough authority to come up with something called that? And they said if he caught one of our soldiers, he would take him to this out into under a barn or in a house, and they would dig a hole. And that hole would be somewhere with 2 to 2.5 feet in diameter. And said that hole could be over 6 foot deep, or it could be up to 6 foot deep. And they said he would tie a rope around that waist, and he would let you down into that spider hole. He'd put you down in that spider hole, and it would be dark, it would be wet, it would be just gloom in there. There'd be no bathroom, and he would leave them in there for days. And said up the first 24 hours, they would hold their insanity. They would hold, they could still understand. But they'd put metal over the top of it. Then they'd pull a big old mat and stick it over the top of that hole so there'd be no light inside that hole. He wanted them in complete darkness so they wouldn't know what time it was, where they was at, or what was going on. How can this be? Because that man had power over them, and he'd stick them in that hole. But there was one thing Saddam knew. Saddam Hussein knew that he could not let them live very long without water. So what he would do in that same hole, he would drop a gallon of water in there with them. And he would drop it down in that hole with them. They would drink that water, and they would survive till he got what he wanted out of them. This morning, what I'm trying to tell you is, if you're in a spider hole this morning and you're in that hole and oh, Satan's let you down, he's dropped you to the bottom, he's got you pinned down, he's covered you up, he's taken everything away with you, I've got good news. There's water in the hole. There's water in the hole, and his name's Jesus. There's water in the hole, and the only thing will save your life is the water of life, and his name is Jesus Christ. He is holy. He's the Prince. And he's the name above every name. And if you're in a hole this morning, you can't get out of the hole on your own. You're covered up too much. You're covered up too much. Them men could not get out of that hole on their own. Can I say to you, there's not a person in this building on the sound of my voice, you can't come out of that hole on your own. You say, I got enough willpower, I'll come out. No, you won't. There's enough inside of me, I'll come out. No, you won't. If there's enough inside of you to come out of that hole, he wouldn't have went to the cross. If there's enough inside of you to defeat Satan, he wouldn't have went to the cross. Why did he go to the cross? To get us out of that spider hole that we're in and set us free. And whoever the Son sets free is free indeed. There are so many Christians in the world that we live in that are in a spider hole. If you've seen them on the streets, you wouldn't know if they're saved or not. See them in church, you wouldn't know if they're saved or not. Why? Because Satan has let them down into that hole of darkness, despair. He's covered them up. He's put a tarp over their witness, over their lamp, over their light. But let me tell you what he can't do to a child of God. He might try to blow your light out. He might try to cover you up. But there's a living water that lives inside of you that springs up like a living well. And it's inside of you, and it'll come up inside of you. All you have to do this morning is, how can this be? Call on the name of Jesus. I know it's awful to be lost. I know it's awful to be lost. You hear me? I've been lost. Brother Jetty, I'm going to tell you something. I'll be honest with you, son. This is going to be me and you talking right now. I'm going to leave the rest of them out. They can listen, though. Son, it's awful to be lost. It's awful. But I think it's just awful for a man of God or a woman of God to be out of the will of God. I think it's just as bad. And how can this be? Because we deny the help that he has sent for you and me. This morning, if I'm talking to you this morning, I'd get in this altar and I quit living in my spider hole. How can this be, preacher? He'll put you there and he'll cover you up and he'll leave you to die. This morning, he is so good to me and he is so good to you. How can this be? Peter said, you can't come out. He can't get up and leap and walk without Jesus. Without Jesus. See, when you call on the name of Jesus, you ain't calling on only power. You're calling on a person. He's not going to send you power. He's going to send himself in the form of the Holy Ghost. And he's going to empower you. I wrote this down up there and I didn't say it. A lot of Christians want the saving, but they don't want the Savior. They want the healing, but they don't want the healer. They want out of their hole, but they're too ashamed to ask for help. How can this be, preacher? Only because he's the Holy One. Only because he's your prince, and only because he has a name above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Folks, this morning, he's not a good way. He's not a better way. Jesus Christ is the only way. If you got something going on in your life, I would ask you this morning to come to this altar, take it to Jesus. And when you get up from there, you can be a witness of how it can be. Let us pray. Father, I love you. Father, I thank you for Calvary. I thank you for Christ. I thank you for the blood. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your grace. Father, so many times in my life I ask, how can this be? How can you meet these needs in my life? How can you bless? How can you forgive somebody that's done so much wrong? How can you? How can you take a cancer report and make it not even there? How can you take somebody and make them new? How can you, Father? How can you take somebody old and give them a baby? How can you do this? It's because you're the Holy One. It's because you're no respecter of persons. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, and Father, that's you, shall be saved. This morning, if somebody's in here and they're in their spider hole and they need to come out, I pray this morning it'd be a morning that they wouldn't leave in a hole, but they'd walk out on the mountaintop. Father, I thank you for Jesus, and I thank you for the blood. And I thank you for Peter. Once in his life had denied Christ, but now he's reminding somebody else not to deny what Christ has done. Whoever I'm talking to this morning, I ask you to lead them to this altar and let them not do business with me, but let them do business with you. Father, I love you and I thank you. It's in Jesus' holy, precious name, and all of God's people say, amen.